and you got it. The hottest band in the land, Kiss.
She's a dancer, a romancer. I'm a Capricorn, and she's a Cancer. Welcome to Kiss Part 3. The poet Paul Stanley.
That's right.
Hey, yes, this is Sidetrack 3, or at least Kiss 3. I don't know what order we'll be releasing these things, but...
I would imagine linear.
Okay.
Why not? This is an exciting subject.
It really is. It's warranting at least 3 parts. We'll see. We'll see if it needs more. But yes, we are discussing our relationship with Kiss. Not personal.
No.
They've never met us.
No, they haven't.
Hey, one thing I wanted to say before we get into the next phase, which we didn't really talk about, was the... Part of the coolness factor of Kiss in the 70s was the whole, and nobody will that born after 1990 is going to understand this, but the makeup and stuff and not being able to just get what you want immediately and all that, like we didn't know what those guys looked like. Like I saw there once in a while there'd be a picture where they'd have like sunglasses on and be holding something over their mouth or whatever. Mm-hmm. Other than that, as far as we knew, they looked like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really cool, especially if you're a kid. I don't know. There's just this mystery about it. You couldn't go online and nobody was going to ruin it. Apparently, there were pictures of them without makeup, but there was just this like tacit agreement with magazines and stuff that they weren't going to run them.
Yeah, I remember I've seen those, and those, yeah, they're from what, like 1974
yeah,
or something
I
like
think
that?
It, some of those are like at the Cream building and stuff. And
I mean, they all have sunglasses on.
Yeah, but you can still see their faces. But yeah, as far as we knew, that they just went to bed wearing that stuff, you know? Like you said, you were trying to scribble paper over the double platinum pictures to see what they look like without makeup.
And yeah.
I don't know. It was just a special thing that's never really been able to be reenacted, especially, you know, with the internet and everything else.
Yeah.
I think Ghost tried it, the band Ghost.
Mm.
I think shortly after that first record came out, somebody was like, I don't know who it is, and like posted pictures and whatever.
Look,
so
it's their high school picture.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, allow us to have some fun again. Yeah. I don't know. It was fun. It was kind of cool. And when you did see those pictures of them, like I know, I think it was a 16 magazine. It was Ace, and he was just wearing a leather jacket, and he had sunglasses on, and he had like a bandana around the bottom half of his face, like an outlaw, you know. And so I did see some of those, but those were cool too. I don't know. Seeing him in like a leather jacket was cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's just, those are the good memories before we get into the next.
That's right. And that
phase
leads right up
the makeup
to the sudden course change that they decided to take.
Yeah. So we left off on the abysmal, well, the record's good, Creatures of the Night.
Their career was not.
Their career was really not good. Yeah, what are your memories of this?
It's weird because I remember suddenly, you know, it was announced, this big announcement, Kiss was going to be, you know, doing something big.
Yeah.
And I remember going, who cares?
Right. Yeah. So bored with Kiss.
But yeah, then as the time got closer, I remember it was, you know, finally revealed that they're going to be without makeup for the first time.
Amazing. Because it was such a big deal.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, I'll bite.
It was on MTV, right?
Yeah.
Did you have MTV?
I just, either friends or going to the, what was that play? The record store /...
Oh, yeah, the Blarney
Arcade.
Stone.
Arcade, yeah.
Yeah. In Yelm.
But yeah, because that was a big deal. It was like Kiss without, even though, you know, it was only two of the four members.
Right. And I think that was my, like, I was half curious just because of that. But yeah, another part of me is like, so what? Because Ace and Peter, it's not Ace and Peter.
I don't even care anymore.
Yeah. I don't care what Vinnie Vincent looks like without makeup. I definitely did not see it as it happened because, like you said, MTV was to be seen where I was. But I do kind of remember seeing a clip somewhere. So I'm wondering if it was on, what were those shows? Like in the evenings, they'd have like Entertainment Tonight like that.
That's a very good possibility.
Yeah, and my mom watched all that stuff. So I feel like I might have seen the clip on one of those shows. I don't know how you felt about it. It's pretty underwhelming.
I mean, if they would have been at the height of their career, I would have been like, what?
Right.
But I'm just kind of like, does anybody care about this band anymore?
And the way they did it too was there's like no music or it's very un-Kiss-like. They're just like sitting at a table or something. And then the camera like goes, I think, didn't it show the face with the makeup and then they dissolve to
something like that, yeah.
Their real face. I just remember seeing Gene and going, no, no, put it back on. Yes,
for the love of God.
Yeah, he does not look cool like that. His makeup was so cool. Paul, I was kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
He kind of looks the same.
And then, Eric and...
Yeah, and Vinny.
Vinny were just...
Like, I thought Vinny looked dorky, which I didn't care.
Yeah.
But they did do the next album, which was...
Yeah, Lick It Up. And then, you know, returned with them on the cover.
Yeah. They actually had the real band on a cover for the first time in several records.
Leopard prints. I remember the sleeveless, sort of like muscle shirt, but probably like mesh or something.
Probably. We should have got all those out.
It was
so
80s.
It was super 80s. So that was that was 83, I think 83.
Yeah, I think so.
And I heard the record. I didn't own it, but someone I knew had a cassette and I borrowed it.
I think I had the cassette.
Yeah.
I think that was because I didn't buy the next one, which was
Animalize. Yeah.
You know, and I thought, it's okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's like you know, I was listening to, you know, shit that was way heavier than this. And
yeah, we were already like Number of the Beast had come out by then.
Yeah.
So I think I kind of liked it. I think they played a couple of the songs on Metal Shop and I thought they were all right. Mm-hmm. And that was another record that I went back recently and revisited. It's pretty rock. It's kind of heavy. It's like,
it's definitely back more to their roots.
Yeah. There's a lot of good songs. I don't really like the title song. I think Lick It Up, the song, is kind of silly.
Yeah, it's, you know, they definitely went back to their style of lyrics.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? You think anybody going to find you that attractive? You're what, like 40?
Oh, the video. They had videos for it and they were terrible. Yeah,
weren't they like walking down the street or something?
With like fire.
Yeah, and they'd stop and pose. Yeah.
And Gene's like trying to be Gene, but he's not anymore.
No.
Paul's basically the same. Like for Paul, it was probably wonderful. Like,
because
he didn't really change anything too much. And the other guys, I just didn't care. Eric Carr's a good drummer. I think everything I've read about him, he seems like a nice guy and everything. So rest in peace. But I just didn't care.
No.
I liked Ace and Peter. But yeah, so at the time I remember kind of hearing it and going, it's all right. But yeah. I just really didn't care.
But that actually gave them another like hit song.
Yeah.
It
was really popular in the career. I mean, I guess taking off the makeup was the right thing to do because it seemed to have worked.
But, yeah.
But it also, for me and probably you and probably thousands of other Kiss fans, we just like didn't care anymore.
No.
But I guess there were all these new fans that like the non-makeup Kiss.
Yeah. And we always had the older records to go back to.
Yeah, because I never stopped liking the other stuff. So I was somewhere in there. I think I mentioned this on one of the podcasts. Our friend Vince in high school would make me tapes. Sometimes I'd ask him to and give him a cheap cassette. And he made me a mixtape one time of just a bunch of stuff. And he put a couple of songs from Kiss Alive on there, which I hadn't heard in a long time. And so actually that kind of rejuvenated my love of Kiss, because I really had just written them off for the most part by then.
Yeah.
But I heard those songs. I think it was Deuce and I don't remember the other one. But I remember listening and goes, man, those songs are cool, especially the live versions.
Yeah.
And so then I was kind of like a Kiss fan again, but not the 80s stuff. I just, so Animal Eyes came out and I heard Heaven's on Fire. That might have been the only song I heard off that album.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the other songs are.
I don't either. To this day, I don't really know that album. I think I kind of briefly did like that song, Heaven's on Fire, because they played it on Metal Shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still, because I was still listening to, that was still early enough that I had like Rat albums and Motley Crue and whatever. So it kind of fit into that category, I guess.
Yeah.
So I liked it, but I don't know. It was also quickly forgotten. Is that the one that starts with Paul going, "Whoa!" at the beginning?
Probably.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah.
But I remember Dan had a live video of Kiss that came out around that time. And he'd watch, I don't remember him watching the whole video, but for some reason he watched the Heaven's on Fire part over and over. I think he liked the way Gene sang it or something. But yeah, and again, they were in the Hit Paraders. So I kind of knew what was going on with Kiss because I would read about them in the magazine.
Uh-huh.
But music-wise, I just... 84, so yeah. Ride the Lightning's out at that point.
Yeah, by the time that Animal Eyes came out, I completely lost track of Kiss.
Yeah.
Up until later, but we'll get to
way later. Also another cover that did nothing for me. It's just like animal skins,
with what, like some have like a pair of eyes or something.
Yeah, something. I don't know, it was pretty lame.
animal eyes.
But yeah, so Kiss was now, and it seemed like, and I really musically from there to what's the one where they had an Revenge, I guess, the 90s. So from there to the 90s, I have no idea about those songs. I had nothing to do with 80s Kiss. Every time I'd see them, I would just cringe at what the way they were dressing and stuff. It just seemed to me like they went from being innovators to just following whatever the trend was. Like, now Bon Jovi's hot, so...
They just wanted to make money.
Yeah, and I think Gene had... That was when he was, like, making movies and stuff.
Oh, right.
Because he was like, I'm going to be an actor.
Yeah, what was that? There was some action movie that he was in, right?
One with Magnum P.I.
I don't remember what that was called.
Yeah, I mean, he was in a couple.
Well, he was in, wasn't he in Trick or Treat?
Yeah, he was the DJ.
Yeah.
And Ozzy's in that, too.
Yep. As the preacher. Which is amazing.
Yeah. So he was doing that, and I think music-wise, Paul had kind of just took over in the 80s.
Probably.
And then, of course, they went through... So Vinny was out.
Yeah. Is that when they got Bruce Kulick?
Yeah, well, they briefly had that other guy, you know, on Animal Eyes, but then he had something wrong with his wrist or something.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, well, that was literally, he was in the band for like that long. Yeah, and then they got Bruce, and then, I mean, he's fine, his guitar, but to me it just sounded like every other 80s band that I didn't like at the time. Poison and like Warrant and all that, you know, that glammy hair metal stuff, because now we were into Slayer and Metallica and Motorhead and
punk
was starting to listen to Black Flag, so I'm gonna listen to Black Flag and then
gonna pull up
Tears
my...
Are Falling or something, or crazy Nights and so Kiss was pretty dead to me at that point. And the other, like, I guess Peter once in a while he'd surface, but I don't records or anything.
I think he put out a few records, but I remember he surfaced because there was some guy who was going around saying that he was Chris.
Yeah. He was on, they were on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. So he got back into the spotlight for a weird, getting on fucking, what are those weird,
one of those talk afternoon shows. Yeah. Oh my God. That's right. And then Ace, I don't remember when he put that Fraley's Comet record out.
I want to say that was like maybe, 89?
Yeah, somewhere like way later than it should have been.
Yeah, it's like he just kind of went, I'm taking a break.
Yeah, so you'd think every once in a while it'd be like, be cool if Kiss got back together. Yeah. Or, you know, or just if Ace would just put a record out or something, you know. Him and Peter, I think, were both way into drugs at that point. More than even before, you know. So there was just no, I don't know, it seemed like it was impossible though, like it was never going to happen.
Well, yeah, because they hated the two guys hated the other two guys.
Yeah, like every time you'd see anything they'd be like, they just talk shit or not mention them or act like Peter and Ace never were in the band at all.
And I would imagine probably by the 90s.
Yeah.
Especially when that, you know, Hard to Believe compilation came out. All these, you know, goofy kind of compilations of for Kiss stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these covers started showing up.
Yeah. And, yeah. Let's talk about, so 80, we covered this before and probably got the date wrong. Whenever we first saw the Melvins or heard about the Melvins and then found out they were into Kiss. So we were still in high school.
Yeah, I want to say it was
at that point.
86, 87.
Yeah, so I guess probably at that point I was thinking more about 70s Kiss just because of stuff like that.
Yes.
But yeah, then finding out, hearing bands like cover Kiss and stuff. When did that Hard to Believe come out? I don't remember. 90.
God, I want to say like 92.
Yeah, I feel like it was pretty early.
Because I'm pretty sure it was before Cobain.
Yeah, because they're on
himself.
It. Yeah. And seems weird that they would, while they were huge, I don't think they would have. They must have just been maybe starting to take off.
Yeah.
That was a weird record. So, what we're talking about sometime in the early 90s, there were a lot of compilation records. There always have been for indie labels and stuff, but this one came out. It was it on CZ Records? It wasn't Sub Pop.
Have been
one of the bigger local local Seattle record labels, bigger underground label. But anyway, they put out a record called Hard to Believe, which I always thought was a weird title.
Yeah.
A Kiss Covers Compilation. And I don't remember all the bands that are on it, but I know the Melvins were on it.
Yeah, the Melvins, Nirvana.
Nirvana, Skinyard.
Yeah.
Coffin Break.
Yes.
I think they do Beth, right? Like a punk version of Beth. And that's all I remember.
Yeah. other bands.
Some bands I don't think I knew. Maybe at the time, but pretty lo-fi,
yeah,
low budget. But yeah, the Melvins did God of Thunder, which we had seen them play live,
mm-hmm.
and knew they killed it. And that version has this drum solo by Dale on it. So it's kind of like the Alive 2 version, except really slow,
yeah,
heavy. But yeah, so Kiss, like nostalgia was kind of,
I think so,
happening. But at the same time, I think that was around the time that their Revenge album came out, which had a couple of hits on it. Because I think, again, in the 80s, I think their popularity was going back. Like, the non-makeup thing lasted for a while, and then...
they couldn't sustain.
Yeah, so... But then they did that record, and again, it was with Bob Ezrin producing, but off cocaine this time. And I think that record was kind of a hit. And so it was right around... It's funny, because they were like... the revitalized, you know, non-makeup Kiss, but now all of a sudden, like, all these bands like us and all the other bands that were kind of making some noise in the underground, all like huge 70s Kiss fans.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, well, they were trying to like reinvent themselves again as the non-makeup Kiss. There's all these other bands coming up, like, all we want to hear is, you know,
the original lineup.
Yeah. Because that's the good stuff.
Yeah. Because then in sometime, I don't remember when it happened, in the 90s, they did, MTV used to do this, you know, Unplugged series.
Right. Acoustic bands, acoustic.
And I remember they had Kiss on there.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's okay.
Yeah.
But the big thing was, is that at the end, they brought out both Peter and Ace.
Yeah. For the first time in however many years.
God, a decade at least.
Yeah, at least. Because 80, whenever Ace left, 82. And this had to at least be 90. Probably 3 or 4. So, yeah.
So then suddenly everybody was like, oh, are they going to get back together?
Yeah. And it was cool, too. I remember seeing it and being like, wow. Yeah. I mean, like, it was legit electric watching it, like, I got goosebumps.
Yeah, it's good to see that Peter could still play.
Yeah, and nobody was yelling at each other, and they still had the other guys on stage for some of the songs, which I thought was weird. But,
yeah,
but I think the original four did 2 or 3 songs, and then they brought the other guys back. But yeah, it was super cool. But yeah, everybody was like, maybe it'll happen.
You know, and of course, you know, we're Gen Xers, so we're like, that'd be great, but I, you know, I doubt it.
Yeah, that's not
be
really
let down.
And I think even Kiss, I think Paul and Gene for a little while were like, nah.
Yeah.
But little did any of us know, because as usual, Kiss was lying to us.
Yeah. We could make a lot of money.
Yeah. I'm sure that was the total motivating factor, too. Maybe not. I shouldn't be that cynical. Because you think back, there was a time when they were all just normal guys trying to start a band, just like us.
Exactly.
And they were all probably friends, and they probably had that period of like us against everybody kind of thing. But yeah, by that time, more about the money.
But they did it.
They did.
And the album is actually not that bad.
It's not. And, okay, so the... yeah, they got back together. They put the makeup back on.
That's right.
They're going on a tour. They're playing in Tacoma. I don't know if you remember this, but I do. For some reason, I don't remember the reason, but we had Todd, our friend Todd's mom, buy us the tickets.
Oh, right.
I don't remember why. I don't think she had any special thing. Maybe just because she was able to be on the phone.
Yeah.
Constantly or something, and we all had to work or something. Yeah. Although I thought she worked too, but I don't, whatever the reason was, Todd's mom was the one entrusted with buying us tickets. And I remember showing up at Todd's house, probably for practice or something, or maybe we just were all going to meet there the night of. And she came out and she looked, her face was like kind of sad. And she's like, boys, I was on that phone for hours. I tried so hard, and I just finally got you tickets, you know, because we were all like, oh no, no, we've been waiting for this since fourth grade.
Yes,
but she got the tickets.
She did, and we got to see the original lineup we in did. Makeup with it, the big stage show.
Yes, it was amazing. It was like $50, which at the time I thought was outrageous.
And so, now that's just kind of normal.
It's, yeah, or cheap even for some. But yeah, so Kiss at the Tacoma Dome, where we had seen many other great big concerts. Check out Feedback and Forth, episode 4. and yeah, I couldn't have been more excited. So in the height of grunge and all that stuff in the 90s, here comes back the band that like started all our love of rock and roll.
Yep.
So it was me and you and Tony, Todd. Did anybody else go with us for that? I don't remember.
Did Gump go with us?
He might have. I know he's a fan.
Yeah.
I don't think Sean went.
Yeah, I don't think Sean cared.
Yeah. It was funny. I know he likes Kiss.
I think that was pretty much
okay.
It.
Yeah, so maybe the four of us for sure, and maybe Gump. Yeah, I was super excited. I remember going, showing up at the Tacoma Dome. They had those giant inflatable love gun
looking
Kiss figures out front, and like guys dressed like Gene and walking around.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. They had a I don't think it was real. I think Kiss did it on purpose, but they had like the religious picketers out front.
Oh yeah.
Like Kings and Satan service and all that. It was like,
I'm like, no, shut the hell up.
Yeah. I think Kiss
hired you're paid.
but it was cool. Added a little danger.
That's right. Like the old days.
Yes. Still able to rile people up.
Yeah. So now it's like, you know, one of my lifelong goals have been attained.
Yeah, for sure.
Which was a good thing, because I think they went back out on tour again like a year or so later, but by then I think Peter had left the band again. And they brought in like one of their old drummers, but dressed up as Peter.
Now he was wearing Peter's makeup,
because I remember Ace was still in the band
for a while,
but then eventually he left. And then they brought Bruce Kulick in to look like it. I'm like, come on, guys,
they
really?
Were just not.
It's an insult to Ace and Peter. Yeah. It's like, oh, they're expendable.
It's
put
still
some makeup.
To this day. There's two camps. There's the camp that doesn't mind other people wearing the makeup, and there's people like us who are like,
it's like no.
Either
come up
no
with your
makeup,
own
or come up with a different thing. If you want to keep wearing makeup, why? It's so stupid. I hate it to this day.
Yeah, because around then, again, I didn't care about Kiss anymore.
Yeah, right. I still, because I'm a nerd, I guess, I still will like check out what's going on. Like I listened to that Paul Stanley on the podcast the other day and stuff. Mm. But yeah, I know Ace has been, I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to still talk about the concert.
Oh, okay.
So it had everything we wanted. So they were wearing the Love Gun outfits.
Yep.
Which I think is your favorite,
or no? It's either that or the Alive.
Oh, okay.
Outfits,
nice.
But I was very excited that.
Yeah, because it looked like Kiss, and they had the explosions, and Gene did the fire, and blood.
Ace had the smoking guitar. Didn't he also do the?
Yeah, he had the rocket. Yeah, and I think he played New York Groove. He had that guitar with the crazy lights on.
Yeah.
But like every song, I remember we were just all on our feet and singing every song like at the top of our lungs.
Yeah.
And but the the part I'll never forget is at the end when the light rigging was on fire.
Oh yeah.
And so they like stopped the show. It was pretty much at the end of the show, but yeah. So the lighting rig caught on fire, and I think at first I was just like, that's Kiss. Things are supposed to be on fire. but then, they like stopped the show and they were left the stage. And that one guy, the hero of the show, was like inching his way out over the lighting rig with his little fire extinguisher, like the tech guy, the roadie or whoever.
Everybody's watching him.
Yeah, we're all just like, yeah, dude, go.
Cheering him on.
Yeah, and he gets out there and he he puts the fire out. He starts crawling back.
Everybody's going nuts.
Yeah, everybody's cheering him. And he gets about halfway down, and some little smolders ignite again. There's flames again, and now everybody's like, go back. And he's like looking around like, what? And then he did. He's like, oh,
fuck, I'll get paid enough for that.
So he had to crawl all the way back out, put out that fire. Everybody cheered again. And he went away, and we're all waiting. And then finally, Kiss comes back out. And I remember, oh, I just remember something else too. And then so Paul comes up, and he's like, you waited for us. And I was like, yeah, I paid $50 and I've been waiting for 12 years, for longer, for 20 years. I don't know how long. For you to be here. Yes, I waited. God. The other thing I just remembered was he kept saying, Paul kept saying Seattle.
Mm.
And at one point, like halfway through the show, he was like, I heard some people say that they don't like that I keep saying Seattle because we're in Tacoma. And he tried to save it by going like, I bet there's a lot of people from Seattle here tonight. Like, Paul, no. Tacoma. Just yes. Say Tacoma. Anyway, yeah, no, it was Paul. Hilarious and awesome. And so glad. Definitely in one of my top 10 concert experiences. Only to be topped, maybe, or at least tied like a year later when we saw the original Black Sabbath.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
which that'll be another sidetrack probably.
Yes.
Because another band are like, they're never getting back together.
Yeah. No.
But yeah, so it was short-lived that the original group got back together. We went to see the movie that came out with the album too, the Detroit Rock City.
Oh, right.
Well, they were still all together. They were milking it for all it was worth.
They had a campaign going on.
So I remember us going to see the movie. I think there were about 8 people there.
Yeah.
But I liked it. That was funny. I don't know. What else? That's kind of our history of Kiss.
Yeah.
Just again, like they seem to be a huge, huge influence to not just us, but like every band we knew and didn't know, like the founders of the Seattle music scene of the 90s seemed like they all like Kiss.
That's right. Matt Lucan did like Kiss.
Yes. The Melvins loved Kiss. Oh, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about. So we did cover Kiss. We did Deuce.
We did Strange Ways.
Strange Ways. That was kind of toward the end or in the middle.
She.
That, yeah. Way too fast.
Yeah. Can't forget about She.
Yeah. So we at least, I think those might have been the only ones, but yeah, we did do our share of Kiss covers.
Yes, we did.
I think, especially in the early 90s, if you went to a concert, or you know, show in the Northwest, chances are
you're gonna hear a Kiss cover of some kind,
and we did not disappoint, so we did our due.
Yes, we did.
And so without Kiss, you probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast right now.
No,
but you might be listening to Jim Croce. I don't know.
I've got a name.
I don't know what else to say about, except I still to this day, I love Ace Frehley. He's put out a string of records in the last few years that are actually really good.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, I actually really like the last bunch of Ace records. Don't know what Peter's doing. I think he's kind of retired.
Yeah.
Paul and Gene and their fake Kiss are still doing their thing. Well, they're on their they're supposedly final on their tour.
Fifth final tour.
So we'll see. I mean, they got to quit. Gene's like 70, I think. So, which is kind of amazing that he's still wearing the shit and doing it at that old. But I've seen clips of the show, and to me, I would just I just want to remember them when they were like young and cool and dangerous and
that's right,
energetic. And it, to me, I see this stuff now. I guess
relevant.
If you've never seen Kiss and you're like, I need to see Kiss, that's
go
cool.
See Kiss.
Yeah, but for me, they just look tired.
Yeah,
and I remember them when they were cool. So.
That's why you should buy the Kistery.
Yeah,
DVD set, the first one.
Lots of classic.
Yes. Then you get to see the old Kiss
footage. Yeah, see when they were kind of raw and energetic and unpredictable. Ace likely to fall down or something.
Yes.
But anyway, hail Kiss. 70s Kiss anyway.
And hail to you for listening to three episodes. Yeah,
yes, you made it. I wasn't sure if there was going to be a fourth because
they have a lot of history.
There is a lot, and we, you know. Oh, one. This is a lot I'll say. My one good memory that I have of the Elder, music from the Elder, was way after it came out, but we were at the flea market or swap meet at the old Starlight Drive-In on South Tacoma Way in Tacoma, because they turned it into a swap meet. And for some reason, you and me and Tony were there. Tony, our drummer from Tall Toad. And Tony was looking at CDs and stuff, and he came across a CD of Music from the Elder. And he's like, whoa, Kiss. And he was asking about it. And I was like, dude, you should buy that, man. I was like, that's got to be a collector's item. That's a rare record, man. He's like, ooh, yeah. I'm going to buy it. And so he bought, it was a CD of the Elder. And he bought it. And then the next I heard from him, he was like, record's terrible.
Why
did you tell me to buy it? I was like, I don't know.
Because it would be funny.
I wanted to hear it. That's why. Because I hadn't really heard it yet. So
then you heard it.
And then I heard it, and I was like,
yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, there's like two again. Ace's songs on there are good, and that's about it. So that's the last thing I'll say. Sorry, Tony.
But hey, thanks for listening.
Yes.
And I guess keep checking for more sidetracks.
There will be more. There's a lot. And look for season two of Feedback and Forth. As of this recording, it doesn't exist. But hopefully by the time this is up, we'll have made some progress on that front. So, but you can always go back and listen to season one.
That's right. There's 10 episodes in season one.
That's right. And they get progressively longer.
That's right. So you have lots of listening to do.
There is. And there's music and fun. So thanks again, everybody. And thank you.
And thank you.
And thank you, people.
You waited for us to finish.
Good night.